Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
What's going on, Smith?
I'm Smith, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. What's happening, Weber?
Not much, Smith. What's going on, man?
Nothing, man. This is our very first podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you guys for joining us. I want to tell you a little something about what we're all about and what this podcast is going to be about. Please bear with us if we have a little bit of technical difficulties. We're not really sure what we're doing here, but we do know about wagering on sports. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. Been a long time.
So me and Weber grew up together in Freehold, New Jersey. It's a little bit ingrained in the lifestyle there. Our dads went to the track all the time and hung out. And back before you could sit on the can and look at your cell phone, there used to be, at least in my bathroom anyway, you'd sit there and read horse programs that would be the stack up next to the toilet bowl all the time. So
absolutely. Harness eye.
That's right. So Freehold is the home of one of the oldest harness racing tracks in the country. And me and Webb have been playing sports together and playing ball together for years, ever since we grew up together. And but we've also been gambling for a long time too. Tell us a little bit about that, Weber.
Yeah, it's been maybe 30 years now, I'm guessing, back to the early 90s. So we've been through it, ups and downs, both sides of it. So we can you can ride on our experience here. We can help you out. We can have we'll kick this off and get things going, get the season started right.
Right. Between the two of us, we've had plenty of good days, but we've had plenty of bad days too. We know where you're at. We've been there, and hopefully you can listen to us. And, right. We can try and help you out a little bit. The thing that's going to set this podcast apart, I think, from other sports casts and everything, is you will definitely not hear us sit here and say that we think this week that the Patriots are going to beat the Cardinals, because we see that on TV all the time and the guys go 10-2 and there's no point spread involved. There's no anything like that involved. This will all be about wagering, gambling, overs, unders, point spreads. You will never hear some ridiculous pick like, oh, I think the Patriots are going to beat the Cardinals.
Yeah, at home. Yeah, absolutely. It's all about straight sports gambling, legitimate sports gambling. Everything is related to it.
So teams are getting in camp. We're starting out right now. It's football season is right around the corner. The NFL Hall of Fame game is coming up in about a week. And we can't wait to get it started. We're going to go right now. We're just going to get a little background, talk about some of the things that we're going to do this season and some things that we will be talking about today will be new faces in new places. We're also going to go and look at some futures over and unders for teams in the NFL and get you straight on some things that we like about that and don't like, and maybe talk about some guys that are holding out. Now camps are in session. There's a few guys holding out. Get our take on that. And then on episode 2, we will get to the down and dirty. That's going to be the Falcons and Denver Broncos breakdown. And we're going to find out a little do's and don'ts of betting in the preseason. If you're really junkie and you want to put some money on preseason games, why not? We're going to tell you what to do.
We've all been chopping at the bit.
Stay away from. Yeah, we're ready to roll. We're ready to roll. So anyway, Webb, let's start out. You're a Dallas Cowboy, man. What do you think about your boy Zeke Elliott holding out?
Well, I think the latest today was he's going back to Cabo, wherever he was when he was suspended, to work out. And then Jerry comes out and says, you don't need a bell horse or a bell cow running back to win a championship. So I guess there's a little posturing going on. My feeling is, obviously, whether you're going to sign him or not sign him. So obviously you're going to sign him. I don't know what the problem is. Let's get him signed. You have the, you know, the jump off mark from Todd Gurley. I know they're worried about Dak and Cooper, but, you know, Zeke is definitely the, you know, the straw that stirs the drink. So I don't know what all the bullshit's about. He's going to be signed. So let's just get him in there, and he's not going to miss a game check anyway. So,
no doubt, there's not too many running backs nowadays that can really carry the load like Zeke can. I think you know, they need him in here. I find it not too surprising that he's doing this right now. He's got 2 years left on his deal, I think, and he's supposed to get $13 million. But I think he was drafted the same time as Dak, and he knows Dak's going to have to get the same thing done. Maybe he's jumping the gun to try and get some of that money early before he has to sign their marquee quarterback. But the same thing's happening down here in New Orleans, not quite to the same extent. We got Michael Thomas is holding out right now. That's Drew Brees' number one target. And a lot of people are going crazy. He's trying to get $20 million. The Saints have 18 or 19 on a table. It seems like nickels and dimes at this point, but you can add a couple of extra $1 million to a really good linebacker or a really good something else around the board for that, seems like to me.
Is there a hold up with some guaranteed money there? Because that doesn't seem like that would keep him from getting this done. He needs the Saints as much as the Saints need him, I think. Not that he's a system guy, but he was a second round pick, I think, right?
Yeah, so he's some, on his rookie contract, so he's making less than $2 million this year. When
He's grossly underpaid. You know, he's like 78th or something out of the receivers. I get his point, and I get their point, but
We've also seen a lot of times when wide receivers leave Drew Brees, sometimes their numbers go way down too. And I'm a Saints fan. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm a Thomas guy. I think he's a great player, and it doesn't matter. He's not going to be the highest paid wide receiver for long because Julio Jones is going to sign something for $25 million in a couple of days probably, and then this is all going to be water under a bridge. So what's the matter if he getting 18 or 19 or 20? What's the difference? But the Saints don't want to look into the future. But we'll see what happens.
It just seems like it's a lot of posturing. Like you said, Julio's going to sign. Cooper's coming right. Amari Cooper's going to be right there too. He's got a little different leverage, Michael Thomas. Not leverage, but a little different. You don't see him messing around in the papers like you see with Zeke. And obviously the receiver position is a little bit different than the running back position. But it's going to be a huge payday either way.
No doubt. And I think we were talking about this other day, and I'm gonna put a little news out there. First time out there. I haven't heard it on the radio. I haven't heard this anywhere. But I feel like Drew Brees. This is gonna be Drew Brees last year, Webb. This is breaking news.
We heard it here first.
This is the Wager Maker's first breaking news right here. And you heard it here first. This will be Drew Brees' last year. He was starting to show signs of age.
Yeah.
He knew everything. He can still do everything. He can't hit the deep ball like he used to.
No, and not even close.
Defenses do not have to play as safe as they did then in the back
end. So now, do you think Noah Ingram helps or hurts that?
I don't think it matters. I'd rather have Kamara toting the rock no matter
both
what.
The whole time.
They brought in Murray. And so he's if they're going for the thunder and lightning thing. I mean, they're still going to have that going on. And look, I like Ingram, but I've never been a huge Ingram guy. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, but Kamara adds so much more. He's so much more dynamic back there, and he can do it all. And I think if you need something at short yardage, and if Murray is not getting overloaded, he'll still be productive in that position. So I'm not.
Yeah, I've liked Murray. Yeah.
I was okay with not overpaying for Ingram, although I think he's going to have a really good year. I think over there in Baltimore with
who's that? Lamar Jackson.
He's going to need somebody to lean on in a running game, and between the two of them, they're going to be running that little read option and all that stuff. It should be a dangerous combination over there for them. As far as one other guy, I think that's out of camp that I just don't understand. This is Melvin Gordon.
he's going to end up on a food line. Yeah, that'll go on forever.
He's a solid back. He's no Zeke. He's not going to be. The teams aren't going to sit around and wait for him to come back and play. He's been injury riddled a little bit over last.
That's the other point.
He's put up a few numbers, but nothing spectacular. They're not going to. It's not going to change how San Diego plays. What do you think about Odell Beckham Webb? Over there in the Browns.
I think he's going to have a great year. That's going to be an exciting team. There's a bunch of egos, obviously, but him and Jarvis Landry, they got a bunch of first-rounders on the offensive line. They got first-rounders in the backfield. And I like the tight end, Njoku or something like that. He's good, too, from Miami. So, they're going to be good. That defense.
They have a solid defense, too, to go with all that, too.
Yeah. Yep. What's his name?
We'll be covering the Cleveland Browns. I think Weber is drinking the Kool-Aid with the Browns. That's going around. A lot of people have been handing that out. They're a team on paper, but they haven't.
I'm a believer, man. I'm a believer.
We'll be going over when we go over the over and unders later in the show. We'll be talking about the Cleveland Browns a little bit, obviously. Up there in Jets country, Webb, what do fans think about Le'Veon Bell?
I think, it's this time of year, everyone's in the same boat, but they're cautiously optimistic. He came out with something today and said he'll take 500 touches if it'll get him to the Super Bowl. It's funny, he'll take 500 now, and he was complaining about 3-something just a couple years ago. So I'm a little, I'm apprehensive, but I think the Jets, I like Darnold, I like Le'Veon, couple guys on the defense, but I don't know about that front office or the coaches. It's always the Jets. They got to prove that to me. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid.
That's right. And you're up there in Kool-Aid country with the Jets. I'm sure.
And I got a bunch of Kool-Aid going around with Eli anyways. People still think he's going to play another 3 or 4 years, which I can't get enough of.
Well, they so got a plenty of Kool-Aid to go around too. We'll see how that turns out in preseason. If Eli's still got a job when that's all over with, you know, dying for the kid from Duke to get in there, but we'll see. We'll see how it works out.
Well, there's no receivers now. You see that Golden Tate just got suspended for fertility drugs. And then Sterling Shepard's hurt. And then the other kid got hurt, Coleman. He's out for the year. So that's going to be interesting. That's a lot. They're going to see a lot of 8-man, 9-man fronts at Barkley.
So we got Antonio Brown talking about the West Coast, went out to the Oakland Raiders. I can think, again, wide receivers are tough. You pay them a lot of money. And unless things are really clicking, they can be a problem. We'll see. We'll see how his life is without Ben Roethlisberger. He's obviously, to me, he's one of the most talented wide receivers in the game.
No doubt.
But he is going out to John Gruden. I don't know if the game's just completely left John Gruden.
I don't know.
Or what the situation is out here. He got a big payday for the Oakland Raiders, and he's guaranteed money. But I don't see that team getting any better anytime soon with or without Antonio Brown. That might just be one more piece of the puzzle that adds headaches to everybody out there. One guy that I think is going to do well is Joe Flacco.
You think so?
At least I think he will help that team out a lot. I think they've been without a quarterback. I saw a stat earlier today that they've had something like 5 or 6 different starting quarterbacks since 2017. So obviously John Elway has had a hard time bringing guys in there since Peyton Manning left and finding guys to do well. I think they got a nice running game with Lindsay.
Yep.
And they got a good solid defense. I mean, when you got Chubb and you got Von Martin coming off the edges, and they
Von
got their
Miller,
new coach.
Yeah, and they got a couple coach, defensive backs, Chris Eckler-Ferris. Fangio.
He's coming. He's coming over there. You know, he's going to be a badass defensive coach. He's coached.
Yep.
He was the coach here for the New Orleans Saints under the Dome Patrol when they had Pat Swilling and Ricky Jackson and Sam Mills. He was the defense. He was the linebackers coach back in the day.
Okay.
So
all right. I'm gonna have to go against you on that on the Broncos. I don't see Flacco throws a good deep ball. I don't know who they got anybody going deep. I guess, well, you know what? I think they drafted a couple guys.
As far as quarterback goes, they drafted Andrew Luck or Drew Luck out
Drew
of
Luck.
Missouri, and I think he's going to be
receiver wise. Who they drafted a couple receivers.
They have Emmanuel Sanders, and they have a couple younger receivers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious to see how that plays out. And I want to know, I'm curious too, what the offensive line, how it's going to work. You may see that's going to be the old Raiders bombs, you know, hand the ball, similar to the Raiders used to be, hand the ball off twice and then throw deep. That's what I'm looking for the Broncos, I think.
Right. So, all right, that's some of our new faces and new places. Just real quick before we get into picking some of the over-unders for team total wins for the season, I just want to remind everybody, this is a brand new podcast. It's called the Wager Makers Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at the Wager Makers Podcast. You can go to Twitter, and we're at the Wager Makers, and Instagram and at the Wager Makers. Also, if you want to send us a line, if you have any questions this year at all while listening to the podcast, fantasy football, Survivor Pool, we'll be covering it all. Any picks, anything you have coming up. If you had a rough weekend, you need a bailout on Monday
baseball
night,
playoffs,
you're not sure with the show, whatever, you can send us an email at thewagermakers@gmail.com. So anytime, send us your questions. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to answer any questions you have. So, that's how you reach us on all the social media. We're out there. And, so now we're going to get into, take a look at some of the over under win totals, for teams this year and just kind of get an idea of where we might be. So Webb, so when you look at these things here, the top team, which is pretty typical, is the New England Patriots at 11 wins. They had 11 wins last year in 2018, and that's their over under number here in 2019.
You got to go over. I think, you know, Brady's numbers, I don't think are going to be as gaudy. Gronk is gone. Obviously they're going to be a different team, but they're going to win games, and that division, they had 6 wins right there. So you're looking at it. That's over. They're going over.
Right. You should get too easy against Miami, too easy against the Jets, and too easy against Buffalo.
Buffalo.
There you go.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. So, and then a couple teams that are kind of bored. Well, so the next three are the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Saints at 10.5.
All right, my first question, what's the story with Tyreek Hill? Is he, there's no suspension, there's nothing.
I believe he's playing. Good to go. He's playing. He's good to go. He's good.
And they have those additions through Frank Clark on the defense, the LSU dude, Honey Badger. What's the number? 10.5, you said?
10.5. They play in the same division with the Raiders, so that's a couple games. But then they'll have a hard time with the Broncos and the Chiefs. I mean, the Broncos and the Chargers.
I'm over. I've got it. I'm going right. Over.
The Rams. And the Saints. I'm gonna just want to say the Saints are 10.5. Me and you, we're gonna level with everybody and let you know where our hearts lie. I'm a Saints season ticket. I'm a Saints season ticket holder. I love the Saints. I don't see them getting to 11 wins this year. And if they do, I'm not putting my money that way. They may very well get to 11 wins, but this team hasn't gotten that many times in their franchise history. I know all things are looking good on paper. Drew Brees is a little bit older, but a lot of people here in New Orleans are going to be unhappy with me, but I am going under with the Saints. And one more thing I'd like to talk about is Saints fans. A news article came out today saying that there's a something in the courts against Roger Goodell, and the referees in the Saints game against the Rams.
Yeah.
Guys, let it go. Let it go. You got to let it go. You got to move on. You got to move on. It's for years and years, Saints fans have been saying there's always next year. Well, guess what? Next year is here. It's here. The Saints are in camp. Let's move on. There's nothing going to be done. It was a bad call. It was a bad call. I love Saints fans. Man, this is getting this generation of man. This didn't go the way I wanted it to. I'm going to cry forever. It's, I can't take this. Let's move on.
Cry. And keep
not
crying.
The tuck rule. It's not the tuck rule. My boy Webb over there. His wide receiver caught the ball against Green Bay before he went into the end zone a couple years ago.
You gotta
let it go. That was a touchdown. That was a touchdown. It was a touchdown.
And then Smith, we've talked about this too. That just not to harp on it, but Drew Brees threw the pick in overtime. That wasn't the last play of the game. You had the ball. You got the ball to start overtime. You could have walked down and won the game. Stop crying.
Yep. Several times they could have. There were so many different things could have happened in that game.
Right. Stop crying and move
all
on.
All right. So I'm making the Saints fans are, they're not going to be happy because I got one more thing to say. I'm looking down the list. The Atlanta Falcons are sitting there at 8.5. They play tomorrow. They play Thursday night in a preseason game. I'm not going to say they're going to win the division. I say they go over 8.5. I hate the Falcons. I can't stand them, but they got a solid veteran quarterback. Last year, they were decimated with injuries all over the place. Their defensive secondary was hurt all season. They got Allen and Neal back in the secondary. Deion Jones just signed. He's a linebacker that is a thorn in the Saints side all the time. I just think they're going to go over that 8.5. They might not win the division, but they're going to be right there with the Saints this year. Last year, they were decimated with injuries. They picked up a couple offensive linemen. In the draft,
Freeman is back.
Yeah, they're back. They're ready to roll. They're going to be good. Julio Jones is going to be chomping at the bit to prove himself when he wins to get this big money. So I think that last year, like I say, they were decimated with injuries. You can't count on that happening again. So
Grady Jackson signed a big deal. Like you said, the Jones signed a big deal. I think it's a feel good atmosphere there. Yeah, they can't be as bad as last year in terms of injuries. I think they're primed for a bounce back, although I'm not a fan of the coach. It seems like they can't get it right with the coach down there one way or the other, but I think that's a pretty easy over 8.5 for sure.
Agreed. Okay, now we'll I took the bite from my team. Let's look at the Dallas Cowboys here. How you think about they're sitting at 9. They got 10 wins last year and they're on a number 9.
Well, that's my heart lies, a diehard Cowboy fan my entire life. Let me see. This year, it's going to be tough. The Eagles are back. I work actually down in Philly, and I hear that stuff. It gets pounded into my head daily. I do think they're going to be tough to deal with. I think the Giants are in disarray. And the Redskins, I don't know what they're doing with their left tackle. He's not in camp. And then I'm not sure what they're doing with the quarterback either. I think the Cowboys will be there right at 10 if they can get out of their own way, which I think they will. There's just too much talent on the defense and those linemen as well. He was just handing the ball off. I think we can get to 10 for sure, maybe 11. So I'd go over.
I agree. I think Dallas is in a good shot, good chance to make a nice run this year. You got Washington. They'll probably be starting a rookie quarterback, the kid from Ohio State. I don't know where else. I mean, are the Giants aren't going to give them any problems. Their biggest issue might be Philly, and I just think they're better than Philly. So I mean, the Cowboys, I think, will win the division. I think they'll get past the 10 wins. I like the over for the Cowboys. Let's look at a couple. Do you see any off the top of your head that you see that you?
Well, what's the one we were talking? What's the Arizona Cardinals, for instance? Let's talk at bottom.
Okay,
we talk
to bottom of the barrel. The Arizona Cardinals are at 5.
Under. That's not happening.
they don't even get to the 5 wins.
No, that offensive line.
They got the
you
new,
could go
they
out
got
there
the,
and play.
The coach straight out of college and the quarterback straight out of college, and they just basically stink. You know, I think you mentioned the other day that you might like the Dolphins. You are a Rosen guy, you said, the Miami Dolphins.
What's that?
They're at 5. They're at 5. They had 7 wins last year.
Yeah, I don't know. They're not gonna. That's tough. 5 is tough. Bro.
5.
Is tough.
NFL man. Everybody's 8-8 except for a couple teams. Seems like today.
I don't know. I'm going under just based on the Pats twice. I think that's the Jets. Teams like the Jets and the Bills are going to look at them as must wins. So those are going to be tough games for Miami, right? I do like Rosen. Fitzpatrick is the other guy. He'll break your heart. He'll come. Thanksgiving and further into the season, he's going to have more picks than TDs. They're giving away talent. They're tanking. I think I'm on the under.
All right. One team we mentioned earlier that I know you have strong feelings about is the Cleveland Browns. I'm gonna wait. They're at number 9. They're at 9. I'm gonna wait and I'm gonna make them prove it to me first. I'm not gonna jump on them because of what's on paper. I think they have obviously a lot of talent. Odell and Landry at the outside. They got the quarterbacks with a whole year under his belt. They got a good defense. They got Chubb running the ball. I mean, this team is stacked, but it's still, to me, it's the Cleveland Browns.
I've mentioned the tight end I really like. Denzel Ward, the corner's awesome. They got a couple D linemen. What were they, 7 wins last year, right? I think they tied the first game. Is that right?
They had 7 wins last year.
Yep. Yeah, and then they tie in a tie. So I don't know if expectations are tough anytime you put that kind of pressure on these guys, especially beginning of the season. I don't know how they're going to react, but I think they could get to 9. And I'll take a push, but I'm going to go over. I'm drinking that Kool-Aid. I think 10 wins and 10 wins.
Drinking the Kool-Aid. He's drinking the Kool-Aid. We'll see how it turns out. We got to start coining phrases on here. Drinking the Kool-Aid. I think that might have been taken already, but we're gonna use that sometimes. Show me the money. I think somebody used
Show
that already.
Yeah,
I think that's taken too. We'll have to come up with something new.
Right. Send in some guys. Email us. We're open for all catchphrases.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give us some ideas here, folks. Let us know what you want to hear. That's thewagermakers@gmail.com. Again, Facebook, The Wager Makers Podcast, Twitter @TheWagerMakers, and Instagram @TheWagerMakers. And if you want to send us an email, that's thewagermakers@gmail.com. Well, I think we're going to about wrap it up this time for episode number 1 of The Wager Makers Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will be back soon for episode number 2, and we will get into the nitty-gritty, how to bet on preseason football, and we will have a game to talk about with the Hall of
Season
Fame game.
Football,
that's the Denver
baby.
Broncos and Atlanta Falcons. What do you think, Weber?
Listen, we talked about it. I'm going with the Falcons on this, too, and I'm looking over the list. Here's some interesting guys got in. We could talk about that as well, the new inductees.
Yeah,
which would be cool. But yeah, no, Thursday night, I'm ready. I'm waiting for it. Then we'll have some insight and a couple winners for you, in fact. I think we could probably give you 2 winners, I think. So what do you think? Pick a total.
Little total action on preseason.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us, Webb. Take it easy. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, everybody.